everyone. This is Jeffrey Meldon welcoming you to a special live edition of Law Talk Live. We're here entering our 21st year. It's pretty cool. We started in 2002. We're in 2023. So welcome to the show. Man, last night was a blast. We were out at Celebration Point, and they named the street between Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and the Regal Theater there Steve Spurrier Way. And everybody showed up. It was really cool. Danny Warfel came in and wanted to honor Coach. There was a ton of people were there, and it's certainly an honor for Coach Spurrier, who did so much and continues to do so much for the Gainesville community. As a matter of fact, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill is kind of like the epicenter for things happening, particularly with Gator sports. And since Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, we get clued into a lot of stuff going on. So check it out. It's fun. We got a new name on the street, Steve Spurrier Way. Okay, today, Vandy's coming to town for basketball, and we need to win this game, 3:30. At the O-Dome, and Meldon Law is having a fan fest down there, so show up early and you'll win a prize. Just go to the fan fest. You'll see signs taking you there. Just ask somebody, and you spin the wheel of fortune, and you will win a prize. A lot of good stuff coming up because baseball season's almost here. And for those of you that haven't been to the new ballpark where the Gators play baseball, you are in for a treat. I mean, it is an amazing ballpark, and the Gator team could be a national champion this year. I mean, they're definitely in the top five. They've got excellent pitching and some very, very strong hitting. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you could bring a picnic basket and a blanket and just hang out there and out in the berms. There's grass berms in left field and right field. And we see a lot of families there, and the kids are running around. And so, anyhow, take advantage of it. Let's see, Gator baseball opens up February 17th against Charleston Southern. And we've got softball actually opens up 2 days earlier versus Jacksonville. And then they have a tournament next weekend. So just go to Meldon Law Facebook page if you want to enter the contest for tickets. It's all free, and it should be a blast. Basketball's got a game versus Old Miss Wednesday the 15th. So anyhow, we want to keep everybody in touch. And, more importantly, we want everybody to support the Gators. We have a lot of really cool things here. The Lady Gator gymnastic team, which is also going to be competing for a national championship, racked up a score over 198. And for those of you that don't know, the highest score you can get in gymnastics is 200. And they got a 198 plus. And they're competing with Michigan and Oklahoma for the top spot. And it's really fun seeing the Olympic caliber performances. Every time there's a home event, you will see it. And we've got probably five or six gymnasts on our team that will be competing for spots in the Olympics. So we're very lucky. It's right in our own backyard. So, don't forget it. Meldon Law and Friends podcast. A couple really important things. We interviewed Bob Ganzak, who does the Dale Carnegie course every Tuesday. It's an 8-week course, and it goes from 6 to 9:30. And that's amazing. I think we've got 14 team members from Meldon Law that are have gone through the Dale Carnegie course. And I would highly recommend it. I did it. My wife, Patricia, did it. And lots of other team members at Meldon Law have done it. And it's not just public speaking. It's personal growth. It's how to interact with people. So it's pretty cool. And then, of course, we're here at Law Talk Live. And the number live here is 877-975-9825. So let me put that out there again, because we love having callers. 877-975-9825. And the question of the day is, can I be compelled to testify? Which is interesting. Can a witness refuse to testify? And so the answer is, you've heard people take the Fifth Amendment, and that happens all the time, where people just say, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it may incriminate myself. And now, there is something that the other side, usually the prosecution, can do to require you to testify, and that is they give you immunity. And if they give you immunity, then either you testify or the judge can hold you in contempt of court and put you in jail if the judge wants to. In minor, I would say not minor cases, but in cases locally in Gainesville, you see it a lot of times with domestic battery, where one of the spouses calls the police in, the police arrest one party or another, and then it comes time for court, and they've made up, and one of the witnesses doesn't want to testify. And then it can get resolved a number of different ways. However, the answer question is, the question of the day, can a witness refuse to testify? The answer is yes, you can refuse to testify, but there may be some consequences. So anyhow, we're going to go to our first break on Law Talk Live, and we have some exciting news and a great guest for us coming up right after the break in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Maria Youngblood, an attorney at Meldon Law and graduate from the University of Florida. Everybody knows that Meldon Law is the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators, but since we first opened our doors in 1971, we've been the community partner of Gainesville and North Central Florida. Meldon Law is there through all kinds of weather, with offices in Gainesville, Lake City, and Ocala. Learn more at MeldonLaw.com. Again, that's MeldonLaw.com. Meldon Law, we won't back down.
Welcome back to Law Talk Live. I am Jeffrey Meldon, founder of Meldon Law, and we love having callers call in. It makes the show live and interesting. I think we've got a caller right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this Tammy?
Candy.
Candy. Hi, Candy. It's Jeffrey.
I wanted to tell you, I caught your show a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about auto insurance and liabilities. And I want to say that's the most education I've had on that in years. It was an excellent program, and I learned a lot. And I want to thank you for putting things like that out on your show, because I'm just an average Joe. And people like me, we don't know unless somebody tells us.
Well, thank you for calling in and letting our listeners know. As a follow-up to it, if you want to read what Candy's talking about, I wrote a book, Buying Florida Auto Insurance. It's free, And there's two easy ways you can get it. You can call the office, 352-373-8000, and just say you want a book, or you can go to meldonlaw.com, and there should be a PDF version there. The most important thing, Candy, is people have to realize that Florida's the only state where the other car who caused a crash does not have to have insurance to protect you. The only insurance is $10,000 worth of property damage, which doesn't go very far nowadays.
The one thing that I do wish that they would do in the driver education classes, and this is so important, especially in the Ocala area, is that our young drivers do not know how to behave around horses being led and ridden at the side of the road. If you're on horseback, you're required to behave as a pedestrian, riding facing traffic. And the vehicles don't understand that they need to slow down. They need to not blow their horn. Riders getting hit by cars, we really get really seriously injured, if not killed. And a lot of times our horses have to be euthanized, because if you get hit on a horse at 45 miles an hour, that car is going to do some damage.
Well, it's a good point, Candy. Yeah, very good point. You know, Cal is the horse capital of the world, and with WEC and everything else, it's just blowing up as far as people on horses. And there's beautiful areas to ride, and sometimes you're exposed to roads where cars are going, and the cars need to treat the horses and the riders with extreme care. I mean, slow down. Go down to 10 or 15 or 20 miles an hour, and make sure you're not too close. So
pass with a wide berth if you have to. If you see that rider having trouble with their horse, for crying out loud, stop your car.
Stop
your car and let the rider get back under control.
You got it. Thank you very much for calling, Candy. We appreciate it. And let's everybody pay heed to what Candy said. Protect our horses and the riders. Thanks again for calling, Candy.
Thank you, and you have a wonderful day.
Okay, bye. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm Jeffrey Meldon on Law Talk Live, and we have a great guest today, my good friend John Moran, who is a famous photographer, and you're going to hear a little bit about what John and I have been working on the last year or two. John, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Jeffrey. Hello, Gainesville. Doing well. Feeling strangely fine this morning. Thank you.
So anyhow, I'm glad to have you on the show. We've got a really exciting exhibit that's up at the Matheson Museum, and we've got a big party coming up. And let's first talk to our listeners a little bit about what's going on at the Matheson and how your photography is so integrally related to the Great Southern Music Hall.
Well, Jeffrey, why don't you set me up there first by telling our listeners a bit about the Great Southern Music Hall before we get into my small bit role in that story.
Okay. Well, so in 1974, myself and Jim Forsman got together and co-founded a performing arts theater that was formerly the Florida Theater, 800-seat theater, and we called it the Great Southern Music Hall, and it was a live performing venue with great acts that came through. So the opening night, I think, was April 26, 1974, the Earl Scruggs Review. And for country fans, Earl Scruggs was a pretty big deal. And we wound up having Ray Charles come in, and we had Bo Diddley and Muddy Waters. And, I mean, it was, pretty exciting. Tina Turner, let's see, Waylon Jennings, Steve Martin came in for a little comedy. Cheech and Chong. It was an amazing lineup of people. So in the beginning, we just started putting shows on, and within a few weeks, a young 19-year-old photographer named John Moran came up to me and said, Jeffrey, do you have a house photographer? And I looked at John and I said, what's a house photographer? And John says, well, I'll show up and I'll take pictures of the artist while they're performing. And so that was probably June of 1974.
June of 74. I walked into Jeffrey's office and said, Jeffrey, you need me. And he hired me on the spot. But I was ready. I'd had a camera for all of 3.5 months at that point, two lenses. And I guess I had attitude. But when I arrived in Gainesville 50 years ago in 1973, Gainesville was a magical place at a magical time, and a mighty river of music flowed through this town. And that was even before Jeffrey and company opened the Great Southern Music Hall. But I arrived as a rock and roll photographer without a camera. And as soon as I got a camera, which was within weeks of the opening of the Great Southern, I just figured there is a nexus here of need and opportunity, and I went for it.
Well, and John had a Nikon, so we knew he was a professional.
Darn tootin'. Yeah.
So it was really pretty cool. So you had actually gone around campus a little bit, and you know.
Oh, I was photographing. I mean, the music when I arrived in Gainesville in 1973 as a freshman, I remember seeing Yes and Elton John and John Mayall and the Blues Breakers and the Doobie Brothers and James Taylor and Graham Nash and David Crosby. It was astonishing, and I was photographing all those shows, and it was amazing. But what I loved about working with Jeffrey at the Great Southern is just to have the unfettered access of having the official title of the house photographer.
And you know what that meant? John could not only be in front of the stage, but he could be on stage, in, on the side, up top. I, there's some pictures where John's up in the rafters, you know, shooting, you know, the different acts that were performing. It was pretty cool. And so anyhow, John had this collection of really good photographs of the show. John, tell him a little bit about how you would you know, get them developed almost immediately.
Oh, it was so great. Even before I became a photographer for the Alligator, the student newspaper at UF, or the Gainesville Sun, which happened after I graduated, I loved delivering pictures on deadline. And the setup was there were two shows per night at the Great Southern. I would photograph the first 20 minutes or so of the first show and leave quickly to go to my darkroom I had access to just a couple of blocks away, develop the couple of rolls of film, choose the best image, make a couple of 11 by 14 black and white prints that I would dry mount on 16 by 20 mat boards, and then rush back to the Great Southern to greet the performers as they were exiting the stage at the conclusion of their second performance of the night with a grease pencil or a Sharpie in hand to get them to autograph the mat boards. And one of those matted photographs, 16 by 20 boards, was for the house, for Jeffrey, and the other went into my personal collection.
Yeah, it was really pretty cool. And we still have some of the original ones. And when we come back from the break, what we're going to do is start talking a little bit about what is going on at the exhibit. And February 24th, we've got a big event going on, and we're going to tell you all about it on the other side of the break. So we'll be back in 60 seconds on Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon with Meldon Law, and thank you for listening. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Everybody knows that Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators. But since they opened their doors in 1971, they have been the community partner of Gainesville, Ocala, and North Central Florida. Meldon Law is there through all kinds of weather, with offices in Gainesville, Lake City, and Ocala. Meldon Law, we won't back down.
Welcome back to Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon here with our special guest, John Moran, terrific and famous photographer. John, we were talking about, you know, how you would take the photographs, get them developed, get them signed. And you were the house photographer for what, about a year and a half?
Yeah, a year and a half, 2 years. I photographed a couple of dozen shows at the Great Southern, in addition to the shows I was photographing on campus at the Florida Gym and the free concerts on campus as well. And the UF photos are also part of the Return to Forever exhibit, which is the title of our co-created exhibit at the Matheson.
So what the short story is, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I see John at, I think, the Spring Arts Festival downtown, and we start talking, and I say, John, boy, I love the photographs I have in my office that you took at the Great Southern. And he says, you know, Jeffrey, there's some more negatives hidden somewhere down in my, you know, stash, and I need to pull those out. And it was kind of like an annual dance. I would either see him at the Spring Arts Festival or call him, and then finally,
yeah, I was like, "Get in line, buddy." I had so many projects I was working on, but eventually Jeffrey, he was persistent, and yeah, so I finally did the deep dive and unearthed those archives. I kept all of my film, all the black and white negatives from the 70s I shot as a student, and it all went into deep storage, and I sat on that stuff for nearly half a century before I finally, a couple of years ago, unearthed those negatives, which, by the way, were all sleeved in envelopes that were unmarked, and it took some forensic work to make sense of what I had, but there it was.
And tell our audience what you did with these negatives.
Gosh, the print quality I'm able to get now using this hybrid blend of technology, using a current issue Canon camera that is super high resolution, mirrorless camera, to digitize the film negatives, yields a quality that was unimaginable back in the 70s in terms of the nuance of shade and detail and the sharpness. And we've got, instead of this just being an exhibit of framed photographs up on the wall, we worked with the terrific exhibit designer, Rick Kilby, and we went wall to wall and floor to ceiling, and it is transformative. I have never been part of, I've done a lot of museum exhibits, but I've never been part of an exhibit that just so utterly transforms a space. And it just feels like we're just stepping back in time, which is the intent here, of course.
That's why we came up with the name Return to Forever. You know, you had Chick Corea, Return to Forever, and it was on the marquee of the Great Southern, and there was a photograph, and John was trying to come up with a name, and that's kind of how the whole thing evolved. So anyhow, February 24th, it's a Friday night at 7 p.m. at the Matheson Museum. We're having a... I don't know what you call it. It's a party. You can call it a symposium, a party, whatever. There's going to be food and drink. And a lot of the folks that were there at the time of the Great Southern Music Hall are going to be talking. We've got John, myself, Albert T. Badgey, who was our talent acquisition buyer, Jim Forsman, my co-founder, and Bill DeYoung, I think, is coming, John.
Bill DeYoung is coming. Bill wrote the text for the exhibit. Bill and I worked together for many years at the Gainesville Sun. He was the former editor of the Scene magazine. Bill is a nationally recognized music journalist. He's written several books, and he is the man. And he's going to be hosting or emceeing or whatever the panel discussion. But the part of this that I'm perhaps most looking forward to is the facet of the evening we're calling Open Mic. And we are inviting the people of North Central Florida who went to shows at the Great Southern back in the 70s to come and share their stories. And I know those stories are out there. And that's going to be great fun.
So, okay, everybody, listen again. February 24th, Friday night, 7 p.m. at the Matheson Museum. You're all invited. However, you need to reserve a seat because there's limited space there. So go to MathesonMuseum.org. And we want folks that have experienced or had experienced the Great Southern during the 70s to join us and tell your stories. So, you know, there's lots of folks. We run into people all the time, right, that say, oh, I was there. You know, John and I are down at the museum fairly frequently because the exhibit's been running since, September?
September, yeah.
And so anyhow, a lot of folks have, you know, come by. The museum is open, I think, Wednesday through Saturday.
Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 4. And we expect the exhibit will be up for the rest of this year.
Yeah, but don't wait till the summer or next fall to go see it. Come and check it out now and try to make it for the the big open night, Mike. And particularly if you were there, we'd love to see you. There's limited seating. It's free, but there's limited seating because of the size of the museum. So go and just get a ticket. Go online at themathesonmuseum.org, February 24th, and then they'll issue you a couple tickets online, and you'll be able to get in. I promise you it'll be a really fun evening.
So looking forward to it, Jeffrey. And we have lots of friends out there who have lots of stories to tell and to share, and we invite you all in. And so come on down, and it's a pretty sure deal. It'll be a sellout, so to speak. So please register for those tickets online, and we hope to see you on the 24th.
Yeah, and John, for the people that are trying to visualize what this is, it's not a bunch of John's pictures put on the wall. It turned out to be so much more because John was friends with Rick Kilby, who is a terrific graphic designer. And Rick, along with, John and Bill DeYoung, transformed the whole museum. And it's really worth going to. There's even QR codes for the music for each of the pictures, so you can hear the performers' music. So give yourself some time when you go down there. And John and I are really excited about this. This is kind of a labor of love for us.
Oh, God. This is our love letter to Gainesville from the 1970s, Jeffrey.
Yeah, in the 70s, we had a blast here. It was exploding music. I mean, not only was Tom Petty with Mudcrutch, happening during the early 70s, but, you had all the other groups that were involved, the Eagles and, Steve Stills and Bo Diddley. And so it was a pretty cool time. And actually, John and I are conspiring to figure out how to bring back things in the music scene to Gainesville, back to the level that they were.
Mm. Yes, our town would thrive with an even deeper vein of live music.
So anyhow, we're getting ready to close here on Law Talk Live. I've been very privileged to have my good friend John Moran, an incredible photographer, here with us. Please join us at the Matheson Museum, and we're going to be traveling. I'm going skiing. I'm going out to Colorado, Steamboat Springs. So I'm going to have a guest host here next week, and we love hearing from you. So thank you very much for listening to Law Talk Live.